going to be reading from Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 to 28. Galatians 3, 26 to 28. You are all immersed into Christ, so you are all clothed with Christ. You are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Now in Christ there is no difference between Jew and non-Jew, between slave and free, between male and female. You are all the same in Christ Jesus.
Thank you, Thomas. I appreciate that very much. I like the way your Bible reads on a lot of those things. As you can imagine, our lesson tonight is going to be on God's family. And I hope I can get through this, because now I get to thinking about it. It's what Thomas has read, that all Christians are children of God by faith in Jesus Christ, having been baptized into Christ. We refer to fellow Christians as Peter called Paul in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, he called him Brother Paul. So we're known as brothers and sisters in Christ. And our relationship in the church is set forth compared of a family. While tied together by blood, members of a common family live in separate places, although they share the common parents. Brothers and sisters can be strikingly different in appearance, in height, and in size. Their taste and style and dress and customs and manners can vary greatly. But with all of that, they are still all one of that same common family. Now, as Christians, we're tied together by blood, the blood of Christ. In Acts chapter 20 and 28, the church was purchased with His blood. And we also can read something similar in Romans chapter 5 and verse 9, 1 Peter chapter 1, and verse 19, if you're writing these down. The same difference are seen in the church. Christian brothers and sisters were scattered all around the earth. They're different in race, national origins. They speak different languages. Yet, we are all one in Christ Jesus. Galatians 3:28. All Christians are members of the one church which Christ built. In Matthew chapter 16 and 18, Christ said, I'm going to build my church. And I know the worldly people has all kinds of trouble with that. When it says my church, that means one church, the church, as we read about in Ephesians chapter 4, as we looked at some this morning. But as we study the scriptures and go to Acts chapter 2 and 47, he said the Lord had added to the church daily those who were being saved. And once again, we want to say the church, not many churches, but the church, the one that Christ built, and up on the day of Pentecost when it come into existence. Now, we are members of our common family also. In God's family, or the common family, we have different levels of maturity. Our differences are seen in numerous areas, from primitive to highly cultured, from uneducated to highly educated, from poor to wealthy, from weak to powerful, from young to old. We are still all one in a common family, and we're still all one in a spiritual family. There's three things that a family needs, whether it's common or in the church, to survive. The first thing we need to look at tonight will be love. Now, we love those who are in our common family, there's no doubt. But the Bible teaches us that we're also to love our brethren. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 1, John chapter 13 and verse 34 says there's a new commandment for us to love one another. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 20, says, without brotherly love, we cannot love God. Romans 13:10, 1 Corinthians 13:4-7, it says we must have love for the brethren. You know, as we look out, we see our family here, and we see a lot of our family that's missing. And I pray for those one that chose not to be here tonight. And when they choose not to be here, whether it is morning or night, if it's morning, they don't get to sing with us. They don't get to sing to the Lord, those that choose not to be here. They don't get to partake of the Lord's Supper. How sad is that when they choose not to? They choose not to be around us. They choose not to participate. Most of them have slipped back out into the world and not known it. Satan has snatched the Word of God out of their heart. Because if it hadn't, they would be here. They do not have the love of the brethren to edify one another. Now, the second thing I'd like to look at tonight is concern for each other. Most, if not all of us, have concern for our common families. Now, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we should have a genuine concern for one another. And I think sometimes I fail terribly in that order. We are concerned for our common family when they suffer, whether it be mentally or physically. Christians should be ready to care for those who are suffering. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2. We need to be concerned. We need to show our concern. And we do that by demonstrating our sharing with the brother or sisters who are in need. Acts chapter 2, verses 44 and 45. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14. Our concern will reach out and encourage the faint-hearted and discouraged. Number 3, consideration. The common family must exhibit consideration for each other if the family is to be happy and remain intact. The same applies to our spiritual family here at Berryville. The treatment of others must be fair and equal. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. A Christian must be honest in their dealing with each other. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25. We wouldn't take advantage of our common family, even more so with our spiritual family. The Bible teaches us in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10 is to do good to all, but especially the household of faith. In a happy and peaceful family, common or spiritual, there is a patient allowance for weakness and shortcomings. You know, and that's just typical of humanity, that we're going to have these things once in a while. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 2. Among the most visible and admired aspects of family life, whether it be common or spiritual, life is the love, the concern, and consideration of loyal brothers and sisters. As families scatter across this old world, they eagerly look forward to a family reunion where all of the family can be back together and they can see one another. You know, we as Christians, we have that reunion once a week. And how blessed we are to be able to do that, isn't it? And of course, I know there's times that some people can't make it due to sickness. But I think everybody would be here, should be here, if there's something not hindering them to be here. We all look forward to the first day of the week, or we wouldn't be here this evening. It is something that it's even hard to explain, is the relationship we have with one another. I know you all has probably been out in places over the country, and you meet somebody and you take a liking to them right off. Well, you get to talking to them, and the first thing you know, you found out they was a member of the Lord's church. Then you have a bond with that person that you didn't have before. Isn't that amazing? When there's two people that have the same goal in mind. We should all look forward to this first day of the week. For one reason, that we can come and worship God, the Almighty God. He set up a place in heaven for us. And He tells us, do my will and it's yours. So it is of great importance to be a part of God's family. In Matthew 10:37, it says we have to be very careful, though, don't we? And also with the family always comes troubles. There was I can't remember the preacher that told me one time, he said, usually every church has just got out of trouble, just fixing to get into it in trouble, or they are in trouble. Because a lot of times there's turmoil in the church at all times. And that's when we sit down and need to pray for Bruce and Leon when they get things like that, troubles, that they can get them straightened out without the breaking the family, so to speak. A loyal and loving brother and sister in Christ will tell you if you are doing something wrong or doing something you shouldn't do. And there is two kinds of people that you will meet when it comes to something like that, when you're trying to correct a brother and sister or even your own common family member. One will get mad at you and may never speak to you again. And there's another one that would hug and kiss you on the neck and thank you for telling them that they're doing something that they shouldn't be doing to get them back on the right track. Sadly to say, we meet a lot more of them that gets mad and never speak to you again. But brethren, we can't stand silent while they're doing wrong or while they're bringing harm to themselves. Brotherly concern prompted Paul to withstand Peter, if you remember the account that we have in Galatians chapter 2, 11 and 14. If you will remember when the Jews came, had some kind of gathering, it slipped me what it was, but the Jews gathered on one side and the Gentiles on the other, and Paul left the Gentiles to go to the Jews, and Paul had to rebuke him. He said he withstood him to his face. So you see, Peter gave way to social pressure and he shunned the Gentile brethren. At times this will require a painful duty of public censure and disfellowship. What a terrible way, but sometimes it must be done. But even then, we must not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. 2 Thessalonians 3:15, 1 Timothy 5:20, if you're writing them down. Church discipline is a family matter. It involves only the family, and it involves all of the family. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 to 11, is basically talking about receiving discipline from the Lord, but shows the basic underlying principles of discipline in the family relationships and church relationships. Verse 5 and 6 tell how discipline is the expression of love and proof of sonship. Verses 7 through 10 is the illustration of the principle that discipline is a family matter. Discipline brings respect to the father of an earthly family or of the father of the heavenly family, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 9 through 12. Now, as we come to the close, the church cannot have fellowship with those who refuse to be corrected. Romans chapter 16 and verse 7, Titus 3:10. So really, we have to think about what happens if discipline is not practiced here at Berryville. You know, we talk about where a little leaven leavens the whole lump. If Bruce and Leon don't practice the discipline that needed to be, then the leaven comes in, and the first thing you know. And I commend you on what I know about you to discipline the members of the church when needed. We're all part of the family, God's family. What a great blessing it is to us. We're edified by each other. We sit and we take communion with one another. We have the same mindset, I hope, on religious matters. We all should have a big grin on our face at all times. We should be the happiest people ever was, because we're part of God's family. And in that song it says, sometimes we'll laugh together, and sometimes we'll cry. And I've seen that over my time of in the congregations around. I've laughed with many, and I've cried with several too. But that's what's so great about a family. We got somebody's hand to hold in a bad time. We got somebody to enjoy the good times with. What better family than what is God's family? It looks like everybody was here this morning. But if you we'll sing the invitation song. If you need it anything in any way, if you need prayers of the church or whatever it might be, why, Brandon's going to sing the invitation song. So let's stand and join in with Brandon.
But the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. But the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. But the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not a good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. everybody here is partake of the communion. All right.
Brandon, before you sing closing song, I need to apologize this morning. I misquoted some scripture. I didn't misquote it, but I didn't tell the right place where it was at. And that's what Billy was trying to tell me. You know, you can always tell us, you know, keep me on the straight and narrow here. So, I apologize. It should have been Mark chapter 16, verse 16, instead of Matthew. So, and I may have done another one, but a lot of times I'm getting older, and when I look here, and when it goes through here to here to here, it may be different than what it is here. So, elders, you need to keep that in mind with me. So, if you want a younger man to preach, you're not going to hurt my feelings at all. Because I don't need to be misquoting scripture. But that's what I wanted to say.
I'm sorry.
You may have to look over me once in a while.
We'll ignore you every now and then. Did you shut the CD off? Did you shut the CD off? Mind shutting that off, Thomas? 924. 924.